Psalm 46. Again, it says, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof made glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdom were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he had made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you this evening. We got in our house. And again, we just thank you so much, Lord, to be able to have a refuge and a strength that we can go to have a very present help in times of troubles, Lord, and to be reminded that you command us, Lord, that we need not fear. What we need to do is be still before the Heavenly Father, because we know that you are God. And what a joy again as he concludes this psalm. He says and declares, the Lord of hosts is with us. And so, God, bless thy word this evening, for we ask it in your blessed and holy name. Amen. So we look at a new psalm this evening, Psalm 46. You know, God, this psalm was written to comfort and encourage the hearts of God's people. We've entitled this psalm, God, Our Refuge and Strength. And what a blessed, glorious truth to consider that God is our refuge and that God is our strength, a very present help in trouble. The words of Psalm 103 come to mind when he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and what? And forget not all his benefits. And what a blessed benefit we have that God has given us to know that he is our refuge. He has blessed us with many things. He has blessed us by being what? Our Savior, our Lord, our helper, our sustainer, our preserver, our rock, our high tower, our buckler, and so forth. But thanks be to God that even in this, that he is also our refuge. He is our strength. And so what benefits we have as a child of God, that our great and mighty God is our refuge and strength. We've divided this psalm into five divisions. Most divided into three, but for some reason I divided it into five. It says God is our strength, number one, in verse one. God is our stability, verses 2 to 5. 3, God is our safeguard, verses 6 to 7. Fourthly, God is our security in verses 8 and 9. And then number 5, God is our shelter, verses 10 to 11. And of course, under each point, there are various sub-points again. And the title of the psalm is to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song of Elamoth. It speaks of, when it speaks of the chief musician, it's talking about the person that leads the music. They've been entrusted to lead the people in singing unto God. And this psalm was intended to be sung and accompanied with others. And to the sons of Korah, we've explained this so many times already. And then it says, a song upon Elamoth. This word comes from another Hebrew word, amam, which denotes a virgin or a youthful spouse. And it speaks perhaps in the manner of virgins. And so the idea that in the singing, there's a female voice, but a female voice that has a real high pitch or soprano, in contrast to the deep bass or baritone that a man might have. And so it speaks of a high-pitched voice, and to have the instrument that would go with that also. And this word Elamoth only used one other time, and that is in 1 Chronicles 15:20. And so the application then is that the instruments were to be used that would soothe that high-pitched voice. Now, we don't know when this psalm was written or why it was written, but no doubt it is viewed in the aspect of trouble, perhaps some impending calamity that was coming upon them. It could also be applied nationally as well as personally. It was written with the idea that God is the only hope, even amidst the severity of the danger. No matter if a person was in a deep trial or a hard time, God was a refuge, or if it was to the nation, they were saved under the mighty hand of God, who was again their refuge in time of trouble. And thus the application is that regardless of, again, national or personal calamity or affliction, God is our refuge. And again, I might say, what a blessing and a benefit to consider that God is our haven. He's our shelter, our protection. And this is one of those psalms that are spiritually soothing to the soul, especially if we're going through some heavy trial or turbulent time. It is a psalm that helps us, again, when we go through very difficult times. We are instructed to what? To be still. And we're instructed to do that because that usually is not what we do when we go through a difficult trial. I mean, we go all over the place with our emotions and our feelings, and at times we complain and murmur. We even question God, question providence, and we just don't know how to stand still before God when calamity comes upon into our life. Well, the psalm instructs us and teaches us to trust God and to be still, especially in the midst of the storm. Verse 10 is the application where we are clearly told, be still and know that I am God. And this is where we find rest, repose in our God. God is our mighty fortress. And as we just sang a few moments ago, I hope that you know by now that this Psalm 46 is a psalm that is also known as Luther's psalm. And it was through this psalm that he composed, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Luther says, we sing this psalm to the praise of God because God is with us and powerfully and miraculously preserves and defends his church and his word against all fanatical spirits, against the gates of hell, against the implacable hatred of the devil, against all the assaults of the world, flesh and sin, unquote. Luther had gone through a very, very severe trial, and he had gone through many personal things, physical persecution, but I believe at present they were going through, was known, I think, the Black Plague that had hit Germany, and so many people were sick, and even one of his children got real sick, and so he penned the words to this song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, as a reminder and proclamation that God is an all-sufficient God, refuge and strength, even in our weakest moment. And thus, our first point, God is our refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. When verse 1, we have, he is our refuge. In the second part of the verse, he is our reliance. And so again, I say, what blessed words, what encouragement to be found again in verse 1, to know that God is our refuge, that God is for his people a strong refuge, a place that we can come again and again to flee for our safety, for strength, to flee for help in time, to help in time of need. Or as in this particular psalm, to flee, especially in the present time of trouble. The Hebrew word for refuge is kasah, which means to flee into a shelter in times of danger. And it speaks or gives the idea that this refuge is in a high, inaccessible place like a mountain, a high tower, a fortress, that God is our refuge like a high mountain. And so the idea is that we'll be safe from the enemy in him by providing that strong security, not only a strong defense, but also a place of rest where all those who know the name of God, that they can put their trust in him. And this coincides with the promise that those who put their trust in him, we know without a shadow of a doubt that God promises that what? He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is our defender. And what a blessing to realize that even in time of trouble, he is also, as we read, our refuge, and we can put our trust in him. As a matter of fact, as you read this psalm, as we did earlier, we're reminded three times. And I guess we can say this is the theme of this chapter. We're reminded three times that God is our refuge. Verse 1, verse 7, and verse 11. Again, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 7, yeah. God is our The Lord God is the Lord of hosts, excuse me, is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And then verse 11, the last one, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Unbelievable. The beginning of the psalm, in the middle of the psalm, at the end of the psalm, the whole point is, again, what? That God is our refuge. And again, by the word refuge, we mean that it is a place of shelter, a fortress. And by fortress, again, it means that it is an inaccessible spot, which by height or fortification, a stronghold for our protection. And of course, by inaccessible, we mean a place, again, situated high in the cleft of the mountains, which is hard to get to or to reach to. In other words, you cannot enter easily, and thus is not accessible to our enemies to come and get us. And it also gives the connotation as though being fenced, runabouts, being isolated, and therefore being a strong refuge and stronghold in the day of trouble. And as children of God, we will go and have gone through many trials and troubles, which again, Psalm 46:1 alludes to when he says God is a refuge, a very present help in trouble. And I know I said this before, that the word trouble here in the Hebrew is in the plural, a very present help, not only in trouble, but in troubles, plural. And so I'm so glad that God is my refuge, my fortress, my stronghold. And I love the words of Nahum 1:7 when he would remind us that the Lord is good, a stronghold, when? In the day of trouble, and he knoweth them who what? Who trust in him. And this is all I need to know, that my Lord is my Savior, and that he is my refuge, he is my personal stronghold in the day of trouble, yea, days of troubles, plural. Proverbs 18:10 tells us, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it and are saved. And so Christ is our refuge, our strong tower, the fortress, the defense of his people. He is a refuge to which we have, again, great hope and security. And no doubt that every child of God must find that strength and know when we have troubles and trials that we can flee to him as our refuge. We must be what? Anchored to the rock of our salvation. As one has said, quote, in every soul testing trial, the believer must be anchored to a rock greater than the trial that he finds himself in, unquote. And so God is for us a place to which we can freely flee onto in times of trouble or troubles. Again, what a blessing and joy to know that our great God is both what? The refuge and strength. The refuge and strength. So he is our refuge, but then secondly, not only a refuge, but a reliance. And that God is additionally a very present help in trouble. What a joy to have those two things, refuge and strength. And thirdly, a present help in time of trouble. A very present help in trouble. The word present here is the Hebrew word namistia, which means found or has been found. In other words, one who has proved himself that is necessary to help you in time of trouble. The word gives a connotation to that person who is near, close to us, who has been found and is near to us, would give the idea he has been found by proving himself that he is worthy in such time of trouble to be our help. And therefore, the idea is we can confide and put our trust in him. The word help, of course, means aid and assistance. The word trouble, well, that covers every trial, everything that comes upon us. A trial and affliction, it might be persecution, even a struggle with sin, temptation, all those things, and so forth. And so the word trouble, again, is in the plural. And so it speaks of many troubles, not just one. And so the point is, again, that whatever might come against us, we have a refuge. We have help. We have strength in times of severe circumstances and calamity. And the word very brings everything together, brings it very close. That is, our God is always close so that we can, what, flee to him as our refuge and strength. And the whole application is, again, really set forth in verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear. And we'll see that next time. And this is why we don't need to fear, because God is with us. He is our refuge, our strength. Because we know when a trial happens, a circumstance, the first thing that creeps in is fear. It always does. You should already know that by now. And we say this often from this pulpit, fear would always rob you of faith. Fear always leads to something bad. Faith leads to hope, but fear leads to devastation. But we're told so clearly in verse 2, therefore will not we fear. And then he uses the example of the earth being moved, removed, like earthquakes, whatever. Guess what? Even in the midst of that, we can put our trust and faith in God. Even in the most severe situation. Even as Luther reminds us in his hymn, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper amid the flood. That is the flood of our trials, the flood of temptations. He says, yes, of mortal ills prevailing. And so is our fortress and strength, our refuge. God will prevail for us. But again, we must look to him by faith, to him alone. Not him and me. No, him alone. Not him and my wisdom. No, him alone. Not him and our strength. Again, no, him alone. That's our problem. We want to look at our wisdom, our strength, and all these things instead of looking to Christ alone. To Christ alone. In him alone we must put our trust. You know, we're told in other psalms, in particular Psalm 91:2, it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and fortress. My God, in him will I trust. There it is. It's that simple. Nothing profound. In him will I trust. I think of the words of Job, going through a very, very hard trial. But he tells us in Job 13:15, I mean, talk about words of faith. Language of faith. It says, though he slay me, yet, I love that, yet will I trust in him. And then David in 2 Samuel 22:3, coming to the end of his death, he says, the God of my rock, in whom will I trust? He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. David's confidence was what? In God, not in himself. And this is, I believe, where we fail. This is where we make our mistakes when we go through trials and circumstances. We reason with our own mind. We reason with our wisdom as the trial unfolds. And we set our thoughts on, what can I do? How can I help? David did not look to himself. He set his eyes upon God. He boldly declared in such confidence, in thee, Lord, do I put my trust. And we can therefore safely say with great confidence, seasoned in holy conviction, as we're told there in Psalm 31 also, to be reminded, my times are in thy hand. My times are in thy hand, O Lord, thou art my God. And if this is true, then what? In him will I trust. If we truly understand that our times are in the hands of God, then our trust has to be in him. David was trusting God. And by trusting in God, I believe he was setting forth the application, or actually, not the application, the principle that Paul set forth. Remember there in Philippians 3:3, where he said, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. Let us have no confidence in the flesh. We need to put our confidence in God. Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Notice the warning of Jeremiah there in Jeremiah 17:5. He says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in man and make it his flesh, his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. See, that's what happens. When we put our trust in our flesh and our strength, There's a sense that we depart from the Lord. And we wonder, Lord, where are you? God never moved. He's there. We move. We're the ones that make the mistake. We move. Not the Lord. And so Jeremiah gives good instruction. Because if you put your trust in another person, your heart and faith depart from the Lord. And in saying that, it does not mean that you can't ask the church to pray for you or ask brothers to pray for you. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay? Do not misconstrue my words or misunderstand what I'm saying. But again, it goes down that instead of trusting and having confidence in ourselves, let us look to the Lord. Not our wisdom, not our strength. Micah tells us, trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Even Solomon will remind us also in Proverbs, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And in Proverbs 3:25, he says, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. And so David even echoes there in Psalm 118:8, it is better to trust in the Lord than put your confidence in man. And the Apostle John assures us when he says in 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him. If with anything according to his will, he heareth us. And so this great act of faith and trusting God, having confidence. I also remind you, that does not mean that it diminishes the pain or the agony that we might be going through in this trial. I mean, the pain, the anxiety, the agony, it's all still there. But we're able to set our eyes upon God. And so again, what faith, what trust, what hope, what confidence when we understand that God is our refuge. He is our strength. He is a very present help in time of trouble. In time of trouble. Again, there in Psalm 31, David says, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. And I said, thou art my God. Again, I just love the personal pronouns of David. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. And so again, God, our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so we can say with great confidence again and with holy conviction, my times are in thy hand and I put my trust in God. And no doubt that this Psalm 46, it's about trials and tribulations, but it's also about, don't lose sight of it, it's also about trusting God, trusting Him alone, to be still and not fear, and to put our trust in God because He is our refuge. And you notice how many times the word Selah is in there. You stop and meditate upon what is being said so that you can again set your eyes upon God. And again, God has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. So we can say with a true heart of assurance, the Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my helper in time of trouble. Even the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that we can have peace in the midst of the storm. He said to us that in this world ye shall have tribulation. But again, he puts in a precious but. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That is our hope. That is our hope. In the course of John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as this world give it to you. No. I give unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And sometimes I think that we forget these verses and we think that we travel alone in our trials, in our hardships. No, no. Don't let Satan deceive you. Don't let Satan lie to you. No, no, God is with us. And I believe this is what sustained the writer of Psalm 46. And then, of course, remember Peter also reminds us that don't think it what a strange thing of a fire trial to come upon us, that those some strange things that happen unto you. And amazing that he tells us to rejoice. And I know it's hard to rejoice during a trial. Yeah, but as we always say, but in everything give thanks. And that's hard, I know. But we admonish to do this. Trials are not strange things that happen to us. I believe trials are those things that God allows to come into our life to strengthen us, to grow us, to mature us, because we are being what? Conformed into the image of Christ. And it's hard. It's not easy. But the end result is a blessing. And so this is a blessed psalm. And may it be a spiritual balm to your heart, to your soul, especially if your heart is troubled this evening. If you're going through a difficult trial this evening, look to God as your refuge. Look to God as your strength, as your helper. And therefore, God is our fortress. God is our stronghold. God is our refuge. God is our hiding place. God is with us in the time of trouble. Do not kick and fight against God's providence, but place your trust in Him. For He knows the trial, as we said also, the beginning, the middle, and the end. He knows it all. We don't. And that's where we need to put our trust in Him. God is not frazzled when we go to a trial like we are. No. And that's why we need to put our trust not in ourselves, but in Him. In Him. And that's why, again, the psalmist says, my times are in thy hand. I mean, do we really believe this? Do we really believe that our times are in the hands of God? I mean, the good times, the bad times, the hard times. Do we really believe that they're in the hand of the mighty, sovereign, omnipotent God? Well, you're not alone, because David did believe this. Because again, in Psalm 31:15, he says, my times are in thy hand. But again, Psalm 46 is that blessed psalm, that encouraging psalm, that ought to soothe your soul as a child of God. Because we will go through difficulties, through trials, circumstances. But then we're reminded through the whole trial, as we'll see next week, Lord willing, that what God is in control of all things. And that God has not lost one bit of His sovereignty. God has not been dethroned. He's still sitting upon the throne. He is still in control. He is still in command of all things in our lives and in the world. God is the ruler of all things. And this is why we can put our trust in Him. Why? Because not only is He a refuge, but He is our reliance, that we can come to Him again and again and again. Therefore, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You again for Your mercies, for Your grace, and for reminding us again who You are, Lord, and that You are our refuge, that You are strength, our helper, and that You are a very present help in trouble. And to help us, Lord, to look away from ourselves, to look away from this world, to look away from everything, and set our eyes upon Thee. And again, as we said many times from this pulpit, Lord, that we need to be like Jehoshaphat. So many times we just don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon Thee. And so, God, may You add to the teaching of Thy word this evening. For the namesake we ask. Amen.